about caring for the poor. We know in Leviticus, we see where God makes special provision for the poor to be able to glean the fields or take what was left behind. And also after a 7-year period or 6-year period, be able to have debts removed. In 2 Kings, we find where God used Elisha to help a poor woman create a business and provide food for her and her hungry son. So it's common knowledge to the whole world that Christians have a heart for the poor. When they object to the teaching of the cross, they remind us of what we should be doing all the time. It was through Christianity where hospitals were formed, shelters, missions, all started by Christians. So, but there are two slight viewpoints I want you to take a look at when addressing the poor. And it's considering the partiality and the impartiality of God. First, we're going to look at the most prevalent view, looking at the partiality and the care for the poor and the needy. So let's go to Deuteronomy 15. I'm going to need these. Deuteronomy 15, starting at verse 7. Yeah, that's better. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Verse 7. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within many of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. Okay, that's quite clear. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Okay? Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the 7th year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. So what's the Lord talking about right there? As I mentioned before, about after 6 years, there wasn't to be any planting in the fields. And in that 7th year, there was no preparation for the land. It was just to lie dormant in that 7th year. And whatever grew there naturally was free for the taking. Okay? So, when God says not to take on an evil attitude and say, well, the 7th year is approaching, in other words, I don't have to give them anything because the 7th year is approaching, they'll get what they need right there. See, they don't need me to provide them anything, you see. Well, God says that attitude is completely evil. It's contrary to his command. He said, and your eye be evil against your poor brother. Evil meaning you neglect his need and you just say, well, fend for yourself. That's exactly what's being said here. You know, there's a field out there with plenty of food growing. Go pick what you can. The Lord says that if that poor man should cry out, the Lord will hear it and it will become sin in you. Continue on from verse 10. You shall surely give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him. Remember, God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? Because for this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all of which you put your hand. Verse 11, for the poor will never cease from the land. Just Matthew 26:11. The poor you will have with you always. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor, and your needy in your land. Okay? And then we look at Exodus 22. Exodus 22:22-27. Exodus 22:22-27 says, you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows and your children fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, you shall not be like a moneylender to him and shall not charge him interest. If you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is the only covering. It is his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. What the Lord is saying here is you are not to inflict a greater hardship than they have already.
Amen.
You see? So the scriptures are very clear about our very attitude, and as Christians, it's easy for us to address the felt physical needs of the poor. But what I want to address is God's impartiality in the scriptures when it comes to being in the body of Christ, made up of rich and poor. So I want to direct you to James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, beginning verse 1 through 6, this is our focus for the morning. From James chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord. Do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into you, into your assembly, a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality? Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But if you have dishonored the poor man, do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? Now we read that passage and we realize that we are not to give favor to those of affluence who come through the doors of the church simply because of their financial affluence. Simply because they seem to be financially able to benefit us. Okay? And treat the poor who come through our doors as second, second level citizens who are basically there just for a handout, which we are glad to give, but we fail to address the deeper need. As we address the deeper need of the rich, we should equally address the deeper need of the poor. There are ministries set up all around the world. When we hear their reports, when we read their magazines, we hear of the works they're doing, we hear we fed 5,000 people, just a perfect example. Yeah. We build a hospital and we're caring for the illnesses of the poor and the needy. Yeah. It's a new shelter that'll provide 500 new beds where people can come off the street, get a hot meal, get washed up. If that was simply the focus that we needed to be on, well, we'd be batting 1,000. But you know what? I discovered Buddhists do that, Mormons do that, Islam does that, atheists do that. You see? Meeting the needs of the poor is very important. But that's all the world can see, that we can make people comfortable, get them fed, get them into a nice place where they can get on their feet. Well, that's a good thing. But if we as Christians leave it at that, we do a major injustice to the poor. Because just like the doing well and of the affluent, God is just as much angry over their sin as he is over us who are rolling in it. Okay? He is just as angry over the sin of those who live on the streets. See, unfortunately, even in evangelical circles, we've developed ministries where we're afraid to tell the poor that they are sinners in need of a Savior. We address their physical need. And even by just doing that, we allow even some to think that they are of God because good things have happened to them suddenly. And it's very easy to allow that to go on and on. I've seen it happen many times in ministries, where the gospel just happens to be a happenstance conversation, you know? But addressing the deeper need of a damaged, lost soul is rarely treated. God is impartial in his judgments. Let's look at Leviticus 19. In Leviticus 19, verse 15. Now, read both sides of this. You shall do no justice, that's Leviticus 19, 15. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. Okay, so we immediately are drawn to hearing this and we say, don't mistreat the poor with bad judgment. You also mistreat the poor when you neglect warning them of judgment, when you neglect letting them know that there is a wrath-filled God who will judge them for their sin one day. And it is an injustice to allow the poor to go on thinking that they are right with God simply because they've gotten caught up in a ministry that does good things for them. See, and they'll take that, believe it, and read that to mean I'm in God's favor, you know? And I have spoken to people in missions, who are in the care of missions, who cannot relate to me the gospel story as it happened in their lives. It's a good place. These are godly people. I mean, they keep us fed. I get clothed. You know, but they still smoking weed. They still find a drink somewhere. It's no big deal. You know. The deeper problem of the heart is not being addressed. Let's go to Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10, 17 to 18. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. In judgment, God shows no partiality. In Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, 23. In Proverbs 24, 23, it is not good to show partiality in judgment. Don't misjudge because of the position, financial position, small or great, of the people. You can show, other words, I teach evangelism classes from time to time. And I remember years ago in one class, this is years ago, where I like to teach the use of God's law, the Ten Commandments, to help people better understand their sin. Okay? Because really, it's the law of God that helps us to know that we are sinners. That's what it's for. And I had one participant in the class tell me, well, I don't want to make people feel guilty. You know? And especially in help ministries, we hear things like, well, you know, they're already beaten up and down. They don't need to hear me rail on their sin. And, you know, do you know what injustice that is, not to let them know that they have offended a holy God? The poor need to know that message as well as the rich and the affluent. We do no favors being what we think is kind. The most loving thing you can do is warn someone of trouble coming. The wrath to come should be told to all. And if we neglect that because we don't want to hurt the feelings, I mean, there is a gentle way to express it, but you express it in the full truth of the gospel message. Proverbs 28, 21. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread, a man will transgress. See, In our partiality, we can even misjudge the condition of a person. For a piece of bread, a man will transgress. To get freebies, people will lie. they'll pretend that they have a physical need. See? And when we are soft on the delivery of the gospel, we allow them to just go on with that. I love ministries that address the poor and the needy, that address the needs. Yeah. But I personally have a problem with ministries that only address the felt needs. Yeah. Getting fed, getting clothed, getting housed will only make you comfortable for being in this world on this side of life. I would rather live on the streets of this desert, knowing that I have the salvation favor of Jesus Christ, than to live in the house I'm in now. I would rather my family be walking down this street. I would rather my family be in the shelter, knowing that eternity is promised and guaranteed because of the work of Jesus Christ, than for us all to be fed and made comfortable. We have to understand that our ministry in this way to the poor is simply a tool that we use for the ultimate addressing of the need for salvation. You see? And when we neglect that, we do a great injustice. When you don't deliver the full gospel to people who potentially will die. Well, who will die? Who will die? And not, I mean, it's one thing that just to suffer in this world being poor. But you know the people who suffer in this world being poor, who die and go to hell? You know that? And people don't like to think of it that way. But when you know, have you ever seen someone living on the street who know that they're saved because they know that they've heard the gospel and they responded rightly to it? I've seen it. And they're fine. They are fine because they heard the whole true story. Now, how God uses them out there, I don't know. But they are secure. They know that getting a meal or getting a new shirt does not give them favor in heaven. But it's what they do with the message of the gospel and how they respond to the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is still by the cross the poor need to be saved. The same cross that saves those who are of affluence. Continuing our scripture, Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Now, of course, that is in relation to whether you're Jew or you're Greek. But I would dare say whether you're rich or you're poor. You know, there are poor Greeks and poor Jews. What's being addressed here is our need as God's creation, fallen in this world. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. No distinction is made here. If your needs are addressed, you are poor, you have new clothes, you've been given regular hot meals, but you don't know Jesus Christ, you are still lost. And the worst thing is to think that you are kept. Because all the wonderful things are suddenly happening to you. That is not salvation, friend. There are people out there who are in the same condition as you and hate God. You see? Continuing on in Scripture. 1 Peter 1, 13. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. This is addressed to all without partiality. If you are rich, you are expected to answer the call in obedience. If you are poor, you are expected to answer the call in obedience. The scriptures being clear of God's impartiality. Although he does show a special grace in addressing the needs of the poor, their physical needs, these things are used to draw them to himself. We meet the needs of the poor, displaying the love, the impartial love of Jesus Christ. But we don't leave them there with full bellies and warm bodies and a shelter. The shelters are full of people who will still die and go to hell. You know, ministries are still working with people who have yet to hear the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Imagine getting all kinds of wonderful and good things. Imagine thinking because of all the good things happening to you, you are right with God. It's very natural and easy for man to think that way. But we're told by Paul not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Especially concerning whether or not we have a relationship through his son, Jesus Christ. The most loving thing you can do for the poor, far beyond making sure they have money or food, these things are important. The Bible tells us they're important. But the most important thing you can do is stress to them their need for forgiveness of sin, their need to confess their sins, the need to repent of their sins. and their need to put their full trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The scriptures are very, very clear. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Sorry, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I know I'm going. That didn't sound right. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? Acts 17, 29. Acts 17. Beginning of verse 29. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. That truly, these times of ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. The poor need to hear that message. Repent. Why? Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. John 3:16. Don't turn. Everybody, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him, what? Will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Who? Whosoever. The rich? The poor? Everyone. The scriptures are clear. God shows no impartiality. Simply because your status may be of greatness or because you are poor. The call to the poor is just as urgent as it is to us who've been going to church all of our lives. And when we involve ourselves in ministries which only address the felt physical needs of the poor, ask yourself the question, what am I doing this for? To score points with God? Because if you're not there to make sure the gospel is delivered, you're there for yourself. You're there for yourself. If when you see someone who is hungry, tired, needing clothes, they're dirty, of course you're going to have a merciful heart for their need. That's good. But there's no way you should look at them and not wonder, do they know Jesus? Maybe I can address that. If I'm helping out the shelter at dinner time, maybe take an opportunity to sit with somebody and just find out where their heart is with the Lord. You know? Do you know for sure, should anything happen to you beyond the walls of this shelter, that you will go to heaven when you die?
something should happen to you, or a sickness, or get hit by a car or something. Are you saved? Yeah. Do you have a full understanding of the gospel? Are there any questions about Jesus you don't understand? See? That is a very loving approach, because you care more about their bellies being full. You care more about them having warm clothing. You care about these things. Yeah. But there are a lot of warm, full-bellied people going to hell. So when we consider the poor, don't place their physical needs higher than their spiritual need. God is not angry because they are poor. God is not angry because they don't have enough to eat. He cares for those things. That certainly is not a reason for him. That's not why he would dismiss them. It's because of their sin. Their sin is no greater than any of ours. You see? No matter what they have done, they are still children beneath the wrath of God and are in need of a change of heart for holiness. You'd be surprised how many people have not heard the direct gospel amongst Christian ministries today. Yeah. In some evangelical circles, more focus is on getting healed. We got a room full of clothes over here for you. Come get something. We have a great big Thanksgiving dinner. Come on down here, get two turkey legs. And that's all that's addressed. Do you know the Lord? Are you secure should you die today? It's okay to shake them up, people. It's okay to place that kind of urgency in the heart of a poor person. If it drew you to the cross, what makes you think it would not draw them to the cross? Bad, they've got plenty of. Worse, they don't need. And Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the words you speak from your word. Father, we thank you that you remind us of the poor we have among us all the time. But Lord, forgive us when we have forgotten that their needs go far beyond what is physical. That the greatest need of the poor man is the same need for the rich man, Jesus Christ, who has come to save that which was lost. And Father God, I pray that we would not be able to look at anyone who is homeless or the poor without wondering, Lord, most of all, do they know you? And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.